Welcome to parent-child-connect.com. I am Olaolu Ogunyemi, and today I'm going to be reading to you, How Do You Discuss Race with Your Children Using Current Events? The Marines are set to have the first black four-star general in their 246-year history. That was the title of the article posted on July 20th, 2022 by NPR that I saw on LinkedIn. People typically have varying responses to articles like this. Pride, celebration, skepticism, disgust, hope, anticipation, confusion, and inspiration are just a few. Nonetheless, it is a historical moment, one of which our children are witnessing and learning how to digest. The reoccurring question that we have to face as a society is, why does this race matter? Well, today I am going to discuss this in a way that anyone can comprehend. This discussion will examine how we use current events, like the article I mentioned above, to spark a conversation about race with our children. My household rules about race discussions. Before discussing race in my house, I always lay some ground rules for my children. Number one, discussing and learning to appreciate who you are while embracing your heritage and culture does not make you superior to anyone else. We are all created equal. Number two, since we are created equal, everybody deserves dignity and respect. I usually break it down for them. Every means without exemption, and it does not matter how the body is wrapped. That human being standing before you, whether physically or virtually, deserves dignity and respect. Okay, let's dive in. Colorblindness is a myth. I know what some of you are thinking, but I was medically diagnosed with colorblindness. Trust me, I am not being insensitive to your disability. In fact, my father is colorblind. But in the context of discussions about race, colorblindness is usually an argument that one only sees a person for what they have on the inside. At first glance, that sounds awesome. We should all have racial colorblindness, right? Well, it's not that easy. I will use my own household as an example. If you would have asked me a few years ago, I would have proudly proclaimed that we were raising my daughter to have racial colorblindness. I don't want her to say white folks this and black folks that. I just want her to say folks. It worked. Until my oldest daughter made it to transitional kindergarten, about 4 years old. When she came home from school, she was excited to talk about all of her new friends. There's this one girl that is brown like me, but everyone else is yellow, she said proudly. I was shocked, but didn't say anything. I simply let her continue to tell me about her new friends. She continued to come home and discuss how excited she was to have new yellow friends. One had the same name. That's when it hit me. This young child got it right. She recognized a difference, but still searched for common ground. She naturally gravitated towards children with similar backgrounds, but made a point to play with others who brought different interests to the classroom. For example, she absolutely hated getting water on her face, but she slowly began to explore swimming when she saw me and some of her yellow friends having fun in the pool. In other words, my daughter recognized a difference, but didn't care. She didn't need to pretend to be colorblind to show genuine interest in others. She learned, and quite honestly taught me, how to embrace the things that made her different from her yellow friends. Now that she's in junior high, she obviously knows the difference between the many races, but her friend group remains diverse. She didn't need color blindness. She needed her parents to avoid teaching her polarizing lessons about race. It's okay to celebrate. When discussing historical events like the one I mentioned above with our children, one of the most polarizing lessons we can teach is the general's race doesn't matter. Some argue that highlighting the general's race suggests that he was promoted because of his race. Some even argue that highlighting his race is ironically racism or reverse racism. In reality, the article described the general's many accolades and credentials. It then discussed how senior military leaders have continued to focus on decades-old efforts to increase diversity and equality by eliminating systemic barriers. The barriers are eliminated so that the most qualified person and quote-unquote best fit gets the job and promotion. Highlighting the general's race is not to discriminate or claim one's race is more superior than the other. It is a celebration of progress. It is progress that our parents and grandparents did not see when they were my age. It brings hope and encouragement that no matter how recently we were segregated, we are healing and making headway. If that's not enough to celebrate, then how about we celebrate how inspiring the general's story is? He came from Shreveport, Louisiana. That means there are young people in Shreveport and the surrounding areas who can and will see someone succeed who looks just like them. It inspires them to pursue their own dreams because those young people relate to the general's experience. If he could do it, so can I. I have seen and heard this numerous times. We cannot discount the effect headlines and historical events like this have on our future generation. Each of us can influence a unique group of people, and General Langley is no exception to this rule. Systemic racism still exists. This is the final topic, and probably the most taboo when discussing race. Some of you maybe ready to jump ship. But don't worry, I'll keep the ship steady, so stay with me. I have discussed my thoughts on systemic racism with a couple of people, but now it is time to share with the world. Sometimes we solely identify written rules, policies, and regulations as the quote-unquote system, but we fail to discuss the most integral part of any system. The human being. For example, I talked to a human resources specialist who said her company has several non-discriminatory hiring policies in place. However, if she sees a Shakita, or any unique name for that matter, on the application, she will place the document on the bottom of the stack. That means Shakita never had a fair chance at the job. Why? Because the HR specialist assumed Shakita was black, she used her authority to deny Shakita's application. Is this unethical? Yes. Does the company have policies in place that condemn this type of behavior? Yes. Does the company have monitoring and accountability measures to prevent this from happening? Let's just say the HR specialist had been doing this for at least 2 years when she told me this story. This is just one of many examples of how a human being can commit discriminatory acts on behalf of a company and inevitably create and maintain systemic barriers. So when we discuss this topic with our children, it is important that they understand that we celebrate progress while pushing for more. we celebrate the removal of barriers, both people and policy alike. This is an all-hands effort that requires us to embrace our differences, isolate detractors, and celebrate the many steps forward. The ongoing race war will only end in victory if all races fight together for unity and equality. Thanks for joining me today. Have a great weekend.